From ESPN, you're listening to 30 for 30 Podcasts. My name is Jody Avirgan. Welcome to our fifth season of original audio documentaries. As we've done before, we're devoting the entire season to one story. It's told over five parts. It's about a scandal that rocked the NBA and tells us a lot about how power, race, and celebrity intersect in modern sports. For this season, we're excited to work with ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, one of our top NBA reporters, an LA native, and someone who's been covering this story from the moment it broke. Ramona is your host for all five episodes. A quick word of warning, this season contains mature subject matter and language. And now, coming up after the break, from 30 for 30 and the undefeated, the Sterling Affairs.
Shelly Sterling thought she was just going to return some clothes to Neiman Marcus when she got in her Mercedes-Benz station wagon and made the drive from Malibu to Beverly Hills. It was early in the spring of 2014, and even though Shelly was almost 80 years old, she was still going into town, as rich people call Beverly Hills, 4 or 5 days a week. It's hard to guess Shelly's age if you don't know it, because she keeps her hair this convincing pale blonde, and her face is very well maintained. Driving into Beverly Hills is basically like entering a state park for the rich and famous. There are the iconic brown and yellow signs that let you know you have entered a special place. And Shelly Sterling and her husband Donald own a ton of it. Over their 60-year marriage, the Sterlings built a real estate empire. In their heyday, they were the largest residential landlords in LA County. But most people knew her husband Donald Sterling as the longtime owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, one of the worst owners in all of sports. His team was the laughingstock of the NBA for decades. For Shelly, it should have been, would have been, just a jaunt down Rodeo Drive to return some wildly expensive clothes. But unbeknownst to her, her husband was also at Neiman Marcus that day, with a woman 49 years his junior, named V. Stiviano. She wasn't the first mistress, not even close. But V was something different. Shelly told me that story when we met in the winter of 2019 at the Beverly Hills Plaza Hotel, or my hotel, as she calls it. Shelly was 84 at the time, but she can tell that story of that run-in with Donald and V 5 years earlier with exacting detail.
I happened to be there to return something, and she was there with Donald and with some other friends. And we had a big confrontation. She was very, very, very nasty and mean to me.
What happened was that she ran into Shelly, I think, at Nordstrom. And they started talking, and I guess things got out of hand.
That's V. Stiviano's lawyer, Mac Nehore. And when I told Shelly Sterling his version of the story, she scoffed.
It was at Neiman Marcus.
At first, I thought it was funny that Shelly took the time to correct him. I mean, here's a woman talking to a female reporter about her husband's infidelity. Who cares whether you confront your husband's mistress outside of Neiman Marcus or Nordy's? But the details matter here. It's important to get it right. Because that meeting outside of Neiman Marcus, that petty squabble between a wife and her husband's mistress, set off a chain of events that in the end led to one of the biggest scandals in professional sports. A controversy that forced the NBA to finally deal with Donald Sterling after decades of his bad behavior, and had ripple effects throughout the entire league. This is The Sterling Affairs, from 30 for 30 Podcasts and The Undefeated. I'm Ramona Shelburne. I've covered basketball in LA for a long time. The NBA is a league of huge personalities and even bigger egos fighting for power. And if you want the real score, that's the game you have to follow. I learned pretty quickly that there's no other owner in basketball with quite the same personality or ego as Donald Sterling. Sterling wasn't a basketball guy. He was a personal injury lawyer. And then he got filthy rich off of real estate. That's what he was really good at. I could never understand why he even kept the Clippers when his reputation as an owner was so bad. But that's because I always assumed that deep down, he wanted what everyone in the game is supposed to want. To win. But rich people, like Donald Sterling, multi-billion-dollar rich people, don't live in the same world as the rest of us. Don't play by the same rules. When you have enough money, it's like your rubber. Everything just bounces off of you. Even 3 decades of driving an NBA franchise into the ground. When you're as rich as Donald and Shelly, you get to tell yourself that everything is fabulous.
I feel fabulous.
You're fabulous. Fabulous.
He was just so fabulous.
I was born and raised in LA, and I've never heard anyone use the word fabulous as much as these two do.
They were fabulous. It was just fabulous.
Even their court battles.
I want to thank everybody who has helped me, my attorneys, they were fabulous.
And of course, anything related to the team.
And the U.S. team that won it all, the fabulous American team. We are fabulous. Let's give a hand to America. USA!
And Donald Sterling's life was fabulous. Why would he think otherwise? Nobody ever questioned him, to his face anyway. He did whatever he wanted. He said whatever he wanted. He had relationships with whomever he wanted. I didn't know V. Stiviano back then. And yes, that is her real name. V, just the letter V with a period. She was born Maria Vanessa Perez, but changed her name to V. Stiviano at about the same time she'd met Donald at a Super Bowl party in 2010. Before that, she'd been trying desperately to climb out of the poverty that she'd grown up in. She'd been running a food truck business and trying to work her way onto reality TV shows and cozying up to whomever was the most relevant, powerful, or famous. Then she met Donald. There's an unwritten contract between young women and their very rich but much older sugar daddies that helps each side pretend it's about love and not sex for money. Never talk about age. Pretend looks don't matter. Money in Hermes bags are gifts. And never, ever humiliate the wife. But V. Stiviano either didn't know or didn't care, because she broke every last rule in the mistress terms and agreements. She went right at Shelly.
She said to the people in the office, I'm going to own the office one day. And she said to the Clipper people, she says, this is going to be my team one day. I mean, just bold, really bold. And it all got back to me, you know.
She kept telling people she was going to be the next Mrs. Sterling.
Catherine Bauman is one of Shelly's best friends and a longtime Clippers fan.
She would stalk Shelly. She would watch where Shelly would go, and then she'd show up. And I do remember the one time she went into the restroom where Shelly was, just paraded around, showed off herself, then Shelly walked out.
At Clippers games, the entire extended Sterling universe was usually there and usually just feet from one another. Sometimes Shelly and Donald sat in their courtside seats together, and V sat in her seats directly across the court. Other nights, V would sit next to Donald, and Shelly was nowhere to be seen. Clipper players like Ryan Hollins and Matt Barnes got used to V being around. You couldn't not notice her.
She would just parade around the arena, and it's like, it was so awkward. Like, we kind of know what's going on, but you're doing it in front of our faces as if we're silly. And so it was an odd situation.
Nobody liked her. We knew why she was here, and we all thought it was crazy to begin with, but, you know, it wasn't our place to speak on it at the time.
Clippers employees often got caught in the middle of this bizarre triangle. Shelly would call team president Andy Roser, demanding that V not be allowed in the building. And then Donald would call Roser and ask him to leave 4 tickets for her. These were relationships begging to implode. But none of the entangled ever tried to solve the problem. Donald, Shelly, V, each kept pushing each other, waiting for someone to break. Well, the breaking started on Christmas Day, 2012. V called the Sterling house asking to speak to Donald.
We were all sitting down Christmas Day having dinner, and she called.
Shelly was mortified. The family was sitting at the dinner table waiting for Donald as he's pacing on the tennis courts outside fighting with his mistress.
I don't know, they had some argument, and the family heard about it, you know, and it wasn't a good scene.
The fight with Shelly started when he hung up. Not that that was uncommon. Even without V, they fought often. But this was escalating. Shelley and Donald's youngest son, Scott, had to step in before it got physical. He confronted his father and demanded he stop this nonsense with V and stop disrespecting his mother like this. It was a big moment, but nothing came of it. A week later, Scott died. It was first reported to be a pulmonary embolism, but later revealed to be an overdose. He was 32. And I don't think people realize this, but you lost a child.
I know.
Right around then.
January 1st.
Shelley was devastated.
I was going through the motions of living.
It wasn't just that the fight with V was the last volatile moment between Donald and Scott. When Scott died, Donald stayed with V instead of going home to his wife as she grieved. It was too much. She kicked Don out of the house.
Shelley needed breathing room, and I think Don had pushed the envelope a little too far.
I really thought that we probably were going to be getting a divorce.
But Shelley and Donald had been together too long, been through too much together, had too much of their lives and their money intertwined. They did not divorce. The situation simply continued to deteriorate over the next year as Donald spent more and more time with V. Plus, Shelley was starting to learn about the gifts. V posted pictures on Instagram. V driving the $240,000 red Ferrari that Donald had bought her. And the Range Rover. And the two Bentleys. Shelley also found out that Donald had bought V a $1.8 million duplex.
When I found out that he had paid for all the cars and he paid for this house, I was furious.
It was that anger that Shelley brought to Neiman Marcus with her returns on the fateful day that she encountered Donald and V. It wasn't the first time the two women had run into each other or argued, but this time, Shelley decided she'd had enough.
And that's when I decided I was going to sue her.
On March 7, 2014, Shelley Sterling filed a lawsuit in California Superior Court against V. Stiviano, seeking the return of all those gifts from Donald. Donald and Shelley Sterling were worth multiple billions of dollars and had done what the ultra-rich do, put all their money and property into a joint trust. Every dime that the Sterlings spent cost each of them a nickel. Therefore, Shelley argued, the money that Donald used to pay for the gifts was just as much hers as it was his. So she turned to the courts. That sounds a little extreme. Well, you don't know the Sterlings. Calling a lawyer is how they get out of bed in the morning. To say they're litigious is like saying there's traffic on the 405. And besides, suing to get what they want had proven incredibly effective for the Sterlings over the years. Most people didn't have the means or the stomach to battle them in court. They'd settle before they starved.
She kept saying to Donald, "You better have her drop the lawsuit." And he'd say, "Oh, she won't really go through with it, but she's just doing it for effect." And she says, "Well, she better drop the lawsuit."
But here's how the lawsuit, the courtroom product of a bedroom dispute, really came to change everything. For some time now, V had been recording her conversations with Donald.
"Sweetie, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us."
And according to V and her lawyer, Donald was aware she was making the tapes.
"So she told him that I'm going to start taping you to remind you what you told me and, you know, how you told me."
He'd been forgetting things he said to her, and the tapes were a way of reminding him.
"And she was taping them everywhere."
"Please leave me alone, please, please."
She'd recorded hundreds of conversations over the past 2 years. A lot of the recordings were mundane, boring even. But some of the recordings were arguments, and Capture decided Donald that he would never want his wife or anyone else to hear.
"I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid."
No matter what the original intent of those tapes was, they became something V could use as blackmail, because V. Stiviano had no intention of returning those gifts from Donald.
"She wanted me to drop the lawsuit."
V says to Donald, "I want that bitch wife of yours lawsuit dismissed."
Pierce O'Donnell is Shelley Sterling's lawyer.
"And he tried to get Shelley dismissed and she wouldn't do it."
If Donald couldn't or wouldn't fix the situation, V decided she would take matters into her own hands. It was time to use the tapes to reveal Donald Sterling for who he really was. On April 9th, 2014, a Clippers executive assistant texted V on behalf of Donald. The text was to make sure that V understood she wasn't welcome at the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder later that evening, that her tickets, her VIP pass, and her parking had been revoked. V responded with a series of escalating texts, saying she was going to the game anyway, and then some veiled threats. I would hate for Staples Center to get involved in what's going on. 3 hours later, she got a response. Mr. Sterling said to let me know if you need anything. We don't want to have any issues at the game. V had her opening. No, you tell Mr. Sterling that I don't need anything, nor do I want anything. But thanks for asking. Let the games begin. Attached to the text was an audio file. And when the Clippers employee opened the file, she heard this.
In your lousy Instagram, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people.
And it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You have to.
You associate with black people.
I'm not you and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
It was shocking. The Clippers assistant immediately emailed the file to Clippers president, Andy Roser. And that's how Shelley learned about the tape, too.
I didn't even know that the tape was sent to the Clippers until somebody at a game told me that they said they received a tape from her. And I said, well, what is the tape about? So I said to Andy Roser, I said, Andy, what are you doing about this? And he says, oh, well, she'll never do anything.
Roser had worked for Donald Sterling for nearly 3 decades. He did what everybody learns to do after a while. Stay out of the really ugly stuff. Donald and Shelley had cleaned up their own messes for 6 decades. He figured they'd eventually make this one go away too. But they didn't. Shelley told her lawyers about the tapes, and they in turn went to V's lawyer and demanded to hear them. And that's when V. Stiviano made her big move.
I got a call by a trusted, confidential source who said, you have to hear this.
Mike Walters was the news director at TMZ at the time. Now he runs his own celebrity news site, The Blast.
The first thing I did was say, who's Donald Sterling? I had heard the name. I knew that Donald Sterling was important, but I had no idea that he owned the Clippers.
Even for someone from TMZ, whose job was breaking the internet with the juiciest, most controversial stories, this felt like something different.
I received the audio and said, oh my God.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing. How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I asked you was not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
It was the most repulsive, disgusting, unbelievable audio or moment that I'd ever heard in my lifetime come out of somebody's mouth that then once I realized who they were, how much impact that may have.
But no one in the Clippers world seemed to realize. The fact is, Shelley and several people in the Clippers organization heard the recording and decided not to act on it, or weren't appalled enough to act on it. Maybe they didn't understand how big a splash this tape could make.
I think this deals with very touchy subjects like racism, sexism, things that touch everyone in this country. So I knew with all of that combined with the fact that it actually was on tape, and if I could do my job properly, everyone was going to hear it, that this would be a gigantic thing.
So Mike Walters called up the NBA. Their new commissioner, Adam Silver, had barely been in office for 3 months.
I actually had never heard of Adam Silver until that day.
Turns out not even TMZ was going to release something like this without some due diligence.
There is a balance between privacy of people and the public's interest in what is said in this audio. And I think everyone will agree with me when I say this. This had to be heard, period.
After calling the league, TMZ called the Clippers to let them know they were about to publish a tape that would be very damaging to Donald Sterling. If you're Donald Sterling, there's never a good time to have your girlfriend out you as a racist. If you're the Clippers, this could not have happened at a worse moment. Donald Sterling's Clippers have been a laughingstock for decades.
I mean, because honestly, like, these Clippers jokes are something they're not even jokes, they're statements of fact.
In the 30-some-odd years he'd owned the team, they'd only made the playoffs 6 times. They'd never even moved past the semifinals. That had all started to change in the late 2000s, though. The team had drafted a star, Blake Griffin.
NBA Rookie of the Year, Blake Griffin!
And then ended up with another star, Chris Paul.
Los Angeles is electric with the addition of Chris Paul to the Clippers.
Had you heard of the Clippers before this?
After a trade saga that rocked the NBA and somehow ended up in favor of the perennial loser Clippers over the NBA's golden child, the Los Angeles Lakers.
The buzz in Los Angeles has instantly shifted to the Clippers.
In time for this season, the Clippers had also managed to get themselves one of the best coaches in the NBA, Doc Rivers.
It's Doc Rivers to the Clippers, 3 years, $21 million.
There was a hope of stability, balance, even winning. 2012 saw one playoff run. 2013 saw another. And 2014 was going to be the year where they might finally contend for a championship.
I'm excited to bring a championship here to LA in a Clippers uniform.
But now, the Clipper curse was about to rear its head again.
The one thing I can always rely on is that the Clippers screw things up.
Once the Clippers staff found out TMZ was going to publish the tape, Andy Roser went to coach Doc Rivers. He needed him to talk to the team before the story broke.
Andy, I remember coming in my office one day and said, hey, there's a tape that TMZ has that's going to come out. It's not that flattering, but it's not a big deal. Honestly, I thought it was a sex tape because of Donald Sterling. I really did.
So Doc did as he was told and gathered the players and warned them that something was coming. Superstar Clippers forward Blake Griffin and center Ryan Hollins were in that room.
Doc gathered us.
Doc said, hey, guys, we need to meet and talk.
This is about to come out.
We don't know what the heck this is going to turn into.
People are going to run with this. None of us realized the extent because we didn't hear the recording or whatever it was.
He tells us to kind of prepare yourself because we're playing Golden State. And the focus at hand is win the game.
So I think we were all kind of like, all right, well, this is another thing. We'll get ready for this game.
All right, welcome back to SportsCenter, where we have some breaking news, a disturbing story, including the owner of one of the NBA's playoff teams.
TMZ dropped this story at 10 p.m. Pacific time on a Friday night, April 25th, 2014.
It's an audio recording purportedly of Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling making racist remarks to his girlfriend is being investigated by the National Basketball Association.
Why should you be walking publicly with black people?
Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid.
I was covering the NBA playoffs for ESPN when this scandal broke. Like, literally, I was courtside at a game in Portland, and I get this frantic phone call from our news desk telling me I had to listen to this tape.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram. And it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You have to.
Suddenly, the playoff game between the Trailblazers and the Houston Rockets taking place in front of me seemed completely insignificant. I filed my game story and tried to start wrapping my head around this one.
I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
there's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, and you're lousy Instagram. You don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
Like TMZ's Mike Walters? As soon as I heard that tape, I knew this was going to be huge.
The disgraced Clippers owner in the spotlight.
Sterling has a long history of questionable behavior.
Donald Sterling has the mentality of an antebellum slave master.
It's obviously appalling. It's very disturbing. But to be quite honest with you, I wasn't too surprised.
Within hours, the audio of Donald Sterling making racist remarks to Vistaviano had gone viral. TMZ's cameramen and reporters swarmed the lobby of the Clippers team hotel. They had booked several rooms at the Four Seasons in advance so they could legally be inside the private property. Outside the hotel was even more chaotic. The whole world wanted a reaction. Clippers team security advised players and staffers to stay inside their hotel rooms as much as possible. They were on lockdown.
When it came out, I remember it just being chaos. Just from then on, it was just that's all anybody was talking about.
By morning, LeBron James, the biggest star in the league, was saying, there's no room for a person like Donald Sterling in the NBA.
There's no room for that in our game. We've found a way to make this the greatest game in the world. And for comments like that, it taints our game, and we can't have that. Can't have it from a player. We can't have it from an owner. We can't have it from a fan, and so on and so on. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, or whatever the case may be. We can't have that a part of our game.
And across the country, Adam Silver was facing his first real crisis.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver sitting down in Memphis addressing the comments made by Donald Sterling.
The audio recording posted by TMZ is truly offensive and disturbing, and we intend to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible.
Silver launched an investigation within hours.
I am not yet prepared to discuss any potential sanctions against Donald Sterling. We will, however, move extraordinarily quickly in our investigation.
If it was Sterling on those tapes, if they hadn't been doctored or altered, Silver knew he wanted to punish him severely. The league was outraged because on top of Donald Sterling saying all those unforgivably racist things, Sterling was also taking shots at one of the most beloved figures in all of basketball, Magic Johnson.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately and during your entire f***ing life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here, feed him, f*** him, I don't care. You can do anything, but don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
It was as shocking and as bizarre as anything on the tape that a picture of Vistaviano and Magic Johnson had set him off. To hear Donald Sterling talk that way about Magic, the guy who turned the Lakers into a dynasty, who'd fought off HIV, that's the guy Donald Sterling told his mistress wasn't welcome at his games?
Plain and simple, when you heard those comments, Magic, what was your reaction?
I was really upset. You know, you can't understand how hurt I was. He shouldn't own a team anymore, especially when you have African Americans renting his apartments, coming to the games, and playing for him and coaching for him. This is bad for everybody. It's bad for America, and so I'm really upset about it.
Even the famously apolitical Michael Jordan voiced his outrage.
Michael Jordan weighed in. There is no room in the NBA or anywhere else for the kind of racism and hatred that Mr. Sterling allegedly expressed. We cannot tolerate, must not tolerate, discrimination at any level.
But the story was bigger than the NBA. It revealed something raw and ugly. It triggered millions of people. It's like what one of the paparazzi who was tailing Donald and Shelley told me. It had all the elements. Sex, money, sports, politics, greed, racism. It had everything. It even had the visor. You remember the visor? That Daft Punk welding mask meets Florida grandma visor? that V. Stiviano wore anytime she stepped outside of her house?
But still saying nothing is V. Stiviano, not late this afternoon when she arrived home or when she left tonight, wearing different clothes but color-coordinated face shields.
The woman who set this whole thing off was out there rollerblading for the paparazzi.
Have you talked to Mr. Sterling? Can you explain the mask?
This was a full-on media circus.
Why are you wearing the shield? Why are you holding a microphone?
I don't know. It's my job.
Well, then it's my job.
By the end of the weekend, the first black president of the United States was answering questions about Sterling.
I suspect that the NBA is going to be deeply concerned in resolving this.
You know, we, the United States, continues to wrestle with a legacy of race.
The tapes dominated the news cycle, not just because they were juicy, but because Donald Sterling was articulating something deeper, more shameful. A plantation mentality that's at the heart of a lot of this country's history.
Do you know that you have a whole team that's black that plays for you?
Do I know? I support them and give them food and clothes and cars and houses. Who gives it to them? Does someone else give it to them? Do I know that I have? Who makes the game? Do I make the game or do they make the game?
That's an NBA owner, a man worth billions of dollars, going on for more than 9 minutes spewing the most vile of racist thoughts. A white owner whose 20-man roster was stacked with a majority of African-American players, including Ryan Hollins.
Those words hurt. When you hear, I don't want people like that, well, the people like that play for you. The people like that buy your tickets. The people like that bleed just like you, bruh.
Earthquakes, both real and metaphorical, happen suddenly, but they are anything but sudden. The tremor is a product of tensions that build up for years until the fault lines simply break. Los Angeles sits on two fault lines, San Andreas and race. All of us know it. We live with it. Donald Sterling was another. Anyone who played for him or worked for him or covered him in the press or lived in one of his hundreds of apartments on the one hand knew that it was all a matter of time until he blew up. The underlying issues with Sterling were well known and well documented. But like most insanely wealthy white men in America, Donald had managed to wiggle, bully, and fight his way out of all of them. He knew how to play his leverage and power to outlast his adversaries and win, if you can call it that. But this time felt different.
I remember I had said, this is really bad. Really bad. And I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what. It was like shock.
That's what we all were. Shocked. But we shouldn't have been surprised.